This is episode 5 of the Modules Unraveled podcast, part 2 with Mike Carper.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host, he's a dog lover with two Westies, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and Mike Carper is back for part 2 of Drupal Performance. This time we're going to be talking about back-end performance, so welcome back, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
All right, well, let's get started with probably your most popular module, which would be Boost. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what Boost does and why someone would find it useful?
All right, well, Boost is a page cache for Drupal, and what it does is it takes the HTML that Drupal outputs and saves that into a .html file that will then be served direct without using PHP at all or Drupal at all. And so it's a way to make your website very quick. And so it's pretty cool. If you've seen before and after on shared hosting using Boost, it's quite astonishing, actually. The performance improvement you'll get with it. And so people who may want to use it, definitely shared hosting. That is by far my biggest recommendation. Is if you're on shared hosting, you don't have control of what software is installed on your server, or you're very timid of doing that, Boost is a great, easy drop-in that allows you to get your performance for anonymous users. And that's people who are not logged in. So that's, for most people, that's, you know, 90, 95% of the users. They'll get a huge speed increase.
Okay. Just for me, what kind of things does this replace? Like on a shared host, you'd use Boost. What kind of things, what's it comparable to on a dedicated server?
On a dedicated server, it would be comparable to Memcache or Varnish.
Okay. So this is out for Drupal 6, and it's going strong there. How is the development going for Drupal 7?
Currently, the development for Drupal 7 is a little slow. I'm still pretty busy with Drupal 6 in terms of all the stuff I do at work here. And so I haven't really had a lot of time to work on Drupal 7 modules yet. But there is a port of it for Drupal 7. It's not as extensive in terms of its size and scope as the Drupal 6 module. It's kind of a rewrite, actually, kind of taking what was the core of Boost and Drupal 6 and porting that to Drupal 7. The Drupal 7 version of Boost is a lot simpler than the Drupal 6 version. And over time, hopefully it will bring in all the elements that Drupal 6 has in terms of views, expiration, panels caching, a HTML crawler, and things of that nature. Bringing that into 7, that'll eventually happen. Whether that's part of Boost itself or part of a submodule, we will see. Hopefully, the way I would like it to go would be a submodule.
Okay.
And so for Drupal 7, the current guy who's working on this is BGM. And so he's kind of been doing some basic, going through the issue queue, cleaning it up, making sure that patches that are ready to go get committed to Drupal 7. And I think he's actually done a couple for Drupal 6 as well, in terms of Boost. It's just I'm pretty busy in other parts of the Drupal ecosystem, so I've kind of left Boost alone for a little while here. And eventually, I'll get back to it, but no guarantees. just because there's so much to do in terms of performance.
Yep. So if people want to help speed up the process, where's the best place for them to get involved?
I'd definitely say the issue queue. Find patches. If they work for you, go ahead and mark them reviewed and tested by the community. So that way me and BGM know that these patches are good and they do what they're supposed to do. And we'll get things moving along a lot quicker through testing out the devs and putting patches on.
Okay, well, let's move on to another of your backend modules. How about we start with DB Tuner?
All right. DB Tuner is a module for Six that takes all your views, every single view that you have, figures out what queries they're running, and sees if they might be sped up by adding an index to that column that you're querying. And so it's in terms of performance, it's pretty awesome what it does to views. I haven't had any reports of it affecting performance negatively. Mm-hmm. Just because it's pretty targeted in terms of what views it will add an index to. And so it's quite nice in that sense. So that's the main thing that it will do. It also does a couple other side things which are a little more drastic in terms of tweaking, which is it will allow you to change your database from MyISAM to NODB. And real briefly, the default for MySQL is MyISAM, but there's a new version of a storage engine for MySQL called NODB. And NODB will eliminate table locks on data writes. Hmm. And so if you have multiple things writing to the same table, using NODB will speed up your site tremendously, because you won't have different threads fighting each other trying to insert different pieces of content into the same table. So even though it's a different row, it still locks up the whole table. Hmm. And so by switching to NODB, it allows you to have multiple things getting inserted at the same time. And then another thing that DB Tuner will allow you to do is switch it over from the MySQL default Latin 1 Swedish collation to the UTF-8 general collation. And so real briefly, UTF-8 is kind of the web standard. And so this will allow you to switch things over from the MySQL default, which is the Latin 1 Swedish, to the standard, which is UTF-8. And I believe Drupal 8 or Drupal 7 ships with this switch already in place. And so Drupal 6 doesn't have that, but Drupal 7 actually does have the collation set, and it also has NODB as the default. And so this is kind of porting back some of the enhancements from Drupal 7 to 6. And then one final thing that DB Tuner has is there's an open source project called MySQL Tuner. And what I've done is I've ported that over from, I think it's Perl, into PHP. Hmm. And what that means real briefly is it allows you to do an analysis of MySQL, and kind of gives you an idea of, if you wanted to change the MySQL configuration, these are some of the points where you might want to start looking at in terms of you may want to change this value, you may want to change that value. And so it kind of gives you a guide in terms of these are things that might help improve your performance.
Okay.
One thing that MySQL Tuner will show you is the NODB buffer pool size. And so this is a lot of sites that I've seen that actually use NODB. They have this still set to the default, and the default is only 8 megabytes. And so trying to run a database server off of 8 megabytes of RAM generally isn't the best idea. And so for small Drupal sites, just bumping this up to 32 megs will help it out quite a bit. For larger ones, you know, you're looking at 256 megs all the way up to several gigabytes of RAM that you want to give to NODB. And so this is by far the most important thing to set if you do choose NODB. And the MySQL Tuner that's built into DBTuner will tell you, hey, your NODB size is really small. You should think about increasing it. Okay. So that's one of the values that you might want to tweak. And so it gives you some helpful feedback, which is quite nice.
Cool. Next, we've got the cache expiration module.
All right. So the cache expiration module is one of my attempts of pulling out some of the logic that's in Boost into another module that allows other things besides Boost, like Varnish, to use some of that expiration logic. And so I kind of started it, and then I got sidetracked, and I haven't really completed it yet. But some people are actually working on it without me being there, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
But some of the more advanced things like views and panels expiration are currently not in it. But in the future, I wish to eventually pull that in. And so it's one of those things that will make Boost a better module if I can get the cache expiration module looking good. So it's basically pulling out the stuff from Boost and putting it in a separate module. And then from there, you get network effects of other projects besides Boost using it. And it kind of grows and expands from there.
All right. Then the last module we're going to talk about today is the HTTP parallel request library. What's that all about?
So this is a module that was kind of born in Boost, developed in Image Infill Cache and Advanced Aggregator. And I kept reusing the components of it, and so I eventually pulled it out into its own module. And what this allows you to do is issue multiple HTTP requests in parallel, either in a blocking or a non-blocking manner. And what that basically means is blocking means it waits for the response to come back. Mm-hmm. Non-blocking means it kind of pings it. It just sends it out there, and it doesn't care about the response back. And for things like a crawler or image cache generation or other, you know, generating things like that, sending out in a non-blocking manner is actually pretty advantageous because it allows you to do things in a parallel request. So as an example, if you have Image Infill Cache installed, it will issue a request saying, hey, these files need to be generated. And it does that in the same process that your file upload happens in. And so normally, if you didn't have something like the HTTP parallel request library, it would block and wait for that request to come back before it return you to saying, hey, the file's done uploading. or it would time out. And so by doing it, by designing a non-blocking way of doing things, you can send out, I believe, about 1,000 requests per second from PHP. And so that's a lot of, it's a lot of connections you can actually send out and create.
Yeah.
And by having that, it allows you to, you know, do all sorts of things in the background that normally wouldn't be possible. And so it opens up a whole new way of thinking in terms of, you know, how a page is generated in PHP, how a page is generated in Drupal. It's pretty revolutionary.
Excellent. So you mentioned to me that you manage a rather large Drupal install. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So what we have is we have contracts with roughly 80 TV stations around the U.S. And we provide the infrastructure for what we call our hyper-local network. And what that is it's local news for that particular TV station. And so an example here in Seattle is we have comonews.com, but then we have all these sub-communities, you know, in the surrounding area. And so we have a downtownseattle.comonews.com, we have a bellevue.comonews.com, and we have a tacoma.comonews.com. So we have these different community sites, 60 in the Seattle area. And that's, if you take that and expand it out, we're left with about 1,300 domains that we currently manage.
Wow.
And so we manage that with domain access on top of what's built into Drupal core, which is the multi-site feature. And so we run that all on one code base, and it's, they're all running the same base software, the same feature set, and we just have different themes for each station, and it's pretty successful for how large of a Drupal site this is. It's pretty massive.
So you've got 1,300 different sites with one core install of Drupal.
That is correct.
Wow.
And that might be a record. I'm not sure.
It's a record as far as I know.
I don't know who's counting, but right. You know, it's pretty cool being able to manage, you know, one of the larger ones. And so these are all TV stations. And so, you know, it gets quite a bit of traffic. And so that's why most of the modules that I deal with are all performance modules. I do have a couple other ones that aren't performance, and we'll talk about those at the very end of the podcast here. But the sites that I have here are just, it's pretty cool just being able to work with this large of a Drupal site.
And what's the company that you work for that does that?
I work for Datasphere. We've been doing this for a little over 2 years now. And so the project was started as a prototype that went live.
Huh.
And so they built the initial infrastructure and theme from idea to going live within 6 weeks.
Hmm.
And then they hired me on a couple months later to kind of take it from there and take it to the next level, make sure that things could actually scale out and scale up.
All right. Well, let's move on to those last couple modules you were talking about. Let's start with Files Proxy.
All right. So this is kind of a small niche module. It's just something unique. Decided to talk about it here. It's a plugin for the CDN module. And what it allows you to do is have one CDN URL for a multitude of multi-sites. And so we have, real briefly, we have comonews.com, and then we also have something, we have another TV station like katu.com, which is Portland. That's 3 hours south of Seattle here. Mm-hmm. And requests that come in through ImageCache go to the Drupal default, and the default is Como, but Como can't generate image cache files for K2, and so Files Proxy will forward that request back to K2 so it can be fulfilled by the K2 multi-site instance.
Hmm.
And so it's, unless you're running a multi-site with the CDN module, you probably don't need it. But if you do have that issue, you really need it, because it makes managing your CDN very nice, because it's all one URL for all your CDN assets, which, or I should say one host, not one URL. So it gives you one host name for all your CDN assets, which makes life a lot easier.
Hmm. All right, well then, how about our last one, the image field zip and HTML5 bulk upload module?
All right, this was a module that was abandoned, and I took it over. And so it originally allowed you to upload a zip of all your images into an image field, and then using some fancy Ajax, it would fill it in on the form there, kind of how you'd expect it to. I have some demo videos here of it in action, and so you can see it happening, because it's one of those things where, unless you see it, it's kind of hard to describe.
Yeah, I'm going to link directly to these videos in the show notes, because when you showed me this for the first time, I was just blown away that it worked the way it did, it works the way it does.
It's kind of what you'd expect Drupal to do, right?
Right.
And so this was based off of feedback from our stations, all the TV stations that do this. And so when we have a photo gallery node type, and with that we have we've had them upload. I think maximum we hit was like 120 images to a photo gallery, just something ridiculous. And mm-hmm. so having to do those one by one would be painfully slow.
Yeah.
And so this was a requirement to get this working correctly. And it had to work just like like image field works. And so having an add-on with add-on module that does things different would confuse our content creators. And so we needed a way to make this work as you'd expect it to, which is pretty seamless and Ajax-y. And so with that going, I then added in HTML5 support. And what that means is, if you're not using IE as your browser, you can do a multi-select, which is using the shift key and selecting 20 images at once and hitting upload, and all 20 images will magically appear via Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quite nice in terms of the UI and just user interaction of how it works. And so this is one of those modules where even though I always do performance stuff, I still do front end JavaScript stuff. And this mm-hmm. this is an example of some of my work that I've done.
It works great.
Have you tried it, Brian?
I haven't tried it yet. You just told me about it, and I haven't had a chance to actually do it, but based on that video, I mean, you just upload a zip file and your form's filled out with 20 images.
Or you can select 20 images and right. hit upload, and they'll start going. And so It's pretty slick.
Do you have any plans to port this to Drupal 7? Or do you know, is that going to be something that's pretty involved?
A Drupal 7 port, if it's not this module, we'll find something that does exactly what we want. And if it doesn't do it, then we'll definitely port this to 7 because having a bulk uploader is definitely part of what we require for our Drupal 7 site that we're currently developing. So it's a secret project, can't really talk about it, but we will be doing bulk image uploading. And so eventually, if there isn't a good option for 7, either this will get ported or a new module will be created to make that happen.
Okay. For anybody who's listening, if you have a Drupal 6 site that has a photo gallery feature, go install this module. You won't be sorry.
And if you are sorry, there are other options. And so if you, on my project page, I actually have a link to a wiki article that has a list of other bulk uploaders. And so even if you don't like the way this works, you probably can find one that will work how you want it to work. So in that rare case where you're like, oh, this doesn't work how I want it to work, there definitely are other options. Just pointing it out there.
All right. All right. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on and showing us all your performance modules. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Brian, and good luck with this podcast. It's been a pleasure listening to each one, and I encourage everybody out there to subscribe and continue listening because it's pretty exciting where this thing's going. So I'm as excited as you are.
Thanks. All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks again.
All right, that was my chat with Mike Carper about Drupal backend performance. For the show notes for this episode, head on over to modulesunraveled.com/podcast/005. And if you get a chance, I'd really appreciate it if you would head over to iTunes and leave a comment or a rating for the show. That'd mean a lot to me. So thanks in advance for that. And I'll be back on Sunday when I talk with Khaled.